Welcome on into the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. With the last stretch of the season upon us, we've got the numbers from the last daily run summary of 2019, and in those numbers, Igigik just pulled ahead of the Nooshigak to claim the highest cumulative harvest total in the bay. It's Friday, July 26th. I'm your host, Alex Hager. Like many industries, there is very little data on sexual harassment in the fishing industry. We talked to a reporter in Homer who has been covering the subject.
Some of the people I talked to really wanted change to come sort of from within the boats instead of, you know, other ways of reporting, because they felt like they didn't want to be the people who kind of like had to make this change.
And we have an update on how bonuses are shaking out. And finally, we hear an artful tribute to fishing from a knack-neck set netter. Those stories and more after this.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
As always, and for the last time this summer, we will get things kicked off with the numbers. Starting on the west side, the Nooshigak harvest was the smallest in the bay yesterday, with a catch of only 9,000 fish. The cumulative in the district is up to 14.75 million. Escapement in the Nooshigak district was 25,500 yesterday, but keep in mind that's only counting two rivers, since the Wood River Tower is all wrapped up for the season. Cumulative escapement is just a hair short of 3 million, currently at 2.99. Also on the west side, Togiak pulled in 17,000 fish yesterday as part of a run that typically comes later than most other districts. The cumulative harvest in Togiak is now up to 690,000. Escapement in the district was 30,000 yesterday and 200,500 so far this season. Moving over to the east side now, Igigik posted the bay's biggest harvest for the second day in a row with a catch of 54,000. That pushes Igigik's cumulative harvest up to 14.76 million, which pulls ahead to become the biggest cumulative harvest in the bay, just about 14,000 ahead of the Nooshigak. With no new escapement numbers coming from Igigik, the cumulative escapement there will stay at 2.3 million. Ugashik is coming in with the second biggest catch on the east side. Yesterday's harvest was 32,000 fish, bringing the cumulative up to 989,500. Yesterday's escapement in the district was 61,500, making the cumulative 1.5 million. And finally, the Naknek Kwijak posted a catch of 21,000 yesterday, which brings the cumulative to 11.4 million. Escapement in the district yesterday was 11,000, but that number is just coming from the Kwijak with no data from the other two rivers. Cumulative escapement in the Naknek Kwijak is just about to crack 3 million, with the total up to 2.99. Down the peninsula in Area M, the south side is up to 1.1 million sockeye so far, as well as 1.7 million pinks. On the north pen, they've caught 1.9 million sockeye. Looking at the numbers from the Chignik Weir, after a bit of a spike last week, the run is slowing down again. Yesterday, they counted just about 6,000 sockeye, which puts the total up to 522,000. That's more than last year's total at this point, which was around 308,000, but still lower than the 5 years beforehand. And that does it for the numbers today. Keep it tuned right here. We will be back in a moment.
Support for KDLG is made possible by generous support from the Bristol Bay Fishermen's Association, advocating for fishermen, online at bristolbayfishermen.org.
And we're back with the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on this Friday evening. We've got an update on how this season's bonuses are shaking out. For drifters fishing for icicle, there is an 8-cent bonus for bled sockeye in RSW only, 15 cents for sockeye chilled in ice or RSW, and a 5-cent premium for floated fish. For set netters, there's also a 15-cent bonus for chilling. Statistics on sexual harassment in the fishing industry aren't readily available, but in recent years, there has been a push for awareness around the issue. Izzy Ross talked to Renee Gross, a reporter at KBBI and Homer, about her coverage of the hurdles on taking on this issue and sparking change.
In a story you reported back in May, you talked about a woman who fished in the 70s and 80s, I believe. Can you just briefly tell her story and why you decided to include her in your reporting?
So Robin McAllister loved to fish, but she also had some really difficult experiences. And the one that I highlighted in my story was about a time that she was basically stuck on a boat. It was just her and the captain was constantly drinking, and she said that he, you know, basically assaulted her in her room, and she had to fight him off. And the next day, she basically hopped off the boat. She got onto another tender and got away. But, you know, it was a really scary experience for her. And that's not the reason that she left the fishing industry. But, you know, it was definitely a really kind of extreme example of this sort of feeling of being trapped on a boat with, abuse.
One takeaway that I got from both of your stories was that there's really kind of a data deficit surrounding the issue of sexual harassment in the fishing industry. How do we approach this in a responsible way, like when talking about it and when reporting on it? How do you go about doing that when we really don't have that much hard data?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really great point. You know, and no one's really tracking this. You can make complaints to the Alaska State Commission for Human Rights. And when I talked with them, they said, you know, that the amount of complaints that they get from the fishing industry wasn't specifically high amount. So we do know that. But I think it is hard to say how big of a problem it is without anybody tracking it. But I think it doesn't mean that it's not a problem. And I think that there is people talking about, you know, movement for change.
Two things that you mentioned were like a fear of retaliation or just like the frustration and reticence to report because you don't think that something's going to be done. Is that like a sense that you got from the people that you talked to about this issue, that those were kind of driving factors behind why some women or some people didn't report sexual harassment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there were, you know, a wide range of reasons. Some of the women I talked to when this happened, they were much younger. And, you know, some women kind of talked about not having that line for themselves of, I know when this becomes harassment, or I know when this crosses a line for me. And I think when you're younger, some women kind of struggle with that of what is, you know, harassment. And I think some women would even ask me that of like, well, what do you mean when you say harassment? So I think that's one reason that people didn't report. I think that, yeah, the sense of like nothing's going to be done. I think also a sense of not wanting to sort of be the police on the boat was also a reason that people didn't say anything. The sense of sort of wanting to be part of the team on the boat and not being the person who, you know, was disciplining others. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, some of the people I talked to really wanted change to come sort of from within the boats instead of, you know, other ways of reporting, because they felt like they didn't want to be the people who kind of like had to make this change.
That's a really difficult position to be in, and it seems incredibly unfair to put the onus entirely on the person who is being harassed to report and, you know, affect change them by themselves alone. What are some of the things that crews can do to create a culture that is better for everyone, basically?
I think that having a sexual harassment policy is important. I know that the fishing industry does contain a lot of small businesses, a lot of small boats, a lot of boats that are just, you know, family members, and it's not something that people have always thought about that they might need, but it actually, I think, is important to sort of just have rules about, you know, what does constitute harassment and what people can do. And then, you know, another thing that I think people talked about with me is having more women in the industry is also important. So that does make a big difference in being able to talk to other women about harassment, and that women can bring about change in terms of harassment in the industry.
Thank you so much for taking some time to talk today.
Yeah, thank you so much for speaking with me. I really appreciate it.
That was KDLG's Izzy Ross talking to Renee Gross, a reporter at KBBI in Homer. That's a story we're interested in following a little more. So if you have your own thoughts or stories of your own, please share them with us. You can send us an email at fish@kdlg.org or give us a call at 842-5281. Finally on this evening's program, we have a musing from Melanie Brown, a Naknek set netter who has fished on her great-grandfather's site since 1979 and began writing for the Fisher Poets.
So this is something that I think fishermen can relate to, should be able to relate to, or anybody in Bristol Bay that knows about fishing. Dynamic mechanics. The repetition of picking and pulling through gear is mechanical in a way that can be hard to endure if you aren't finding the flow. When you are in it, though, this machine-like movement becomes a rhythm that becomes more like music and dance of the body, especially when the muscles of fishing have been found, flexed, and worked beyond their soreness. When you find the flow, the dance and music of the work comes in a way that brings harmony to the repetition that can easily fall into feeling like a broken machine. When you feel the beauty and power of the waves and wind and the respect they are due, you become a beautiful part of it. Taking a run in your skiff feels akin to surfing when your body stands strong on the deck, but supple and responsive to the greater movement of the sea. Planting your feet while flexing your legs in time to the bounce of the boat and the waves as you pick is a practice in balance that becomes as intuitive as breath. When you are in tune with all of the elements, you find your tune and the mechanics fall away.
That was a poem from Melanie Brown of the Fisher Poets. Before we sign off for the evening, let's take a look at the Bristol Bay Marine weather forecast. Tonight, west wind at 20 knots, seas at 6 feet. Tomorrow, west wind of 15 knots, seas at 4 feet. And tomorrow night, a southwest wind of 20 knots with seas at 6 feet. And yet again, we do not have any messages to the fleet tonight, but we did get a request in the inbox to share a little bit about ourselves. So I figure it's as good a time as any to talk a little bit about my own background. My last stop before coming up to Alaska was a little college in North Carolina called Elon University, where I spent 4 years studying journalism. And before that, I was born and raised in Connecticut. So I'm a long way from home on the East Coast right now. So a special shout out to our East Coast listeners, including my own parents over there. I'm just here for the summer, and I'll be leaving Dillingham at the end of the month. The time I spent in Bristol Bay so far has been full of grand adventure, amazing people, and a whole lot of learning. I will have some great memories from this community for the rest of my days. My next stop is going to bring me to Colorado, where I'll be working as a reporter for Aspen Public Radio. So if you're ever out in that neck of the woods, be sure to tune in, and you can always feel free to say hi. We are in the final stretch of this Fish Report this summer, but we are still taking suggestions and requests. If there's anything we missed or anything you want to hear about, send it our way. You can email the show at fish@kdlg.org or call 842-5281. That's the same place to go if you got a song request or a message to the fleet. And just a heads up, we are not going to have any shows this weekend. Today's Daily Run Summary will be the last scheduled set of numbers we get for the time being, so we won't have a show for you on Saturday or Sunday. And next week, we will only have shows on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. For tonight's fishing song, we will play you out with a song from Vampire Weekend's newest album. It is called This Life. Thanks for tuning in. I am Alex Hager. Good night, good fishing, and we will see you back here next week.
As natural as the rain, I just thought it did. I've been cheating on you. You've been cheating on me. But I've been cheating through this life. And all its suffering. Oh, Christ. Am I good for nothing? Baby, I know hate is always waiting at the gate. I just thought we'd lock the gate when we left in the morning. And I was told that war is how we landed on these shores. I just thought the drums of war would be loud of warnings. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. You've been cheating on me. I've been cheating on you. You've been cheating on me. But I've been cheating through this life. Baby, I know death probably hasn't happened yet, 'cause I don't remember living life before this. And darling, our disease is the same one as the trees, unaware that they've been living in a forest. Ooh-hoo. Cheating on me. I've been cheating on you. You've been cheating on me. But I've been cheating through this life.
Cheating on me. I've been cheating on you.
And all
you've been
suffering.
Cheating on me. I've been cheating through.
Oh,
you've been cheating on, cheating on me. I've been cheating on you.
Am I good for
you've
nothing?
Been cheating on me. I've been cheating through
this life.